Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
We are in Parashat Matot. One of the main thing of Matot is the power of speech. וידבר משה אל ראשי המטות לבני ישראל לאמור, זה הדבר אשר ציווה השם. That's the thing that God ordered you. איש כי ידור נדר להשם או ישבה שבועה. If somebody is swearing to do something, is got does a nether, or promises to do something, לא יחל דברו ככל היוצא מפיו יעשה. Whatever you said, you should do. Then there is a whole parasha about what we call afarat nedarim. Let's say if a girl at the age of between 11 and one day to the age of 12, which is very, people don't realize when they read a lot of things in the Torah, saying, wow, this is, they don't realize sometimes it's written about so few, or even sometimes it's so impossible for those things to happen. Because it's not the idea of the girl and the man and the father or the husband, it's the idea behind it. Here, like if we're talking about the law says, the Torah law, between the age of 11 to the age of 12, if the girl is married, which is also today very rare, maybe there, whether in the Tzafon, they bought this thing, they're getting the girls married up, but that's the age of 12, I think. So, and or a father or the husband can cancel what she, the vow she did. But it's not everything. It's only if she took on herself something that is going to hurt her, or, let's put it in this way, it's going to hurt also those who are around her. In other words, for example, the wife or the daughter decides one day, I'm not going to have a shower. It's 40 degrees. You can think it's near the sea, sweating. You can think what's going to happen after 2 or 3 days. You cannot even go near her. So this is, I gave a, like I exaggerate maybe with the example, but that's the idea. The father, if he hears this, he can cancel it. But he can cancel it only at the same day. In other words, if he heard it and he didn't cancel it after he heard it at the same day, the next day it's finished. So it can be a wife decides one day, I'm not going to cook anymore. Whatever. So all those things, that's the idea is very interesting. The idea is that, by the way, you're talking about the not cooking. When I got married, I had a picture of an oven. But Baruch Hashem, everything is okay. So, in other words, the idea behind this, don't be a tzaddik on account of others. Somebody decides to wake up in the morning very, very early and to learn. He wants to learn Kabbalah. 2 o'clock in the morning. 3 o'clock. Very good. But when he does this, he wakes up the whole house.
But that's crazy.
That's not a tzaddik. That's exactly what we're talking about. Don't be a tzaddik on the account of somebody else. You be a tzaddik for yourself. But if it's hurting somebody, you're not allowed to do it. So this is one of the basic rules that we learn here. Then, lo yachel dvaro, yachel in Hebrew, yachel, is also from the Shom, or lechalel, or chol, like normal day. I don't know how you say chalel in English. Lechalel something. If you
Disgrace.
So in other words, the Torah is telling us a Jew has to talk at a certain level. I don't know if you see sometimes the American films, the way they talk there, it's unbelievable. You know, if somebody is let's say it's a little refined, he cannot hear this. I cannot say the words they say, but it's a part of the language.
But you shouldn't be watching the movies.
I know I shouldn't do a lot of things. And for example, when you see English film, it's a different level of English. Yes. But the Torah is telling us, a Jew is a different level of talking. You cannot talk like they talk in the street. You know, you go to the shuk, you hear them how they talk and how they curse. And it's like, it's a part of the language. That's not the way to talk. So the Torah is telling us, lo yachel dvaro. You should talk nicely. when people look and see somebody talks, a Jew talking, they will see, wow, this is a Jew. This is the way a Jew is supposed to talk. If you want to understand what it is, imagine to yourself, you choose the rabbi, and Reb Chaim Kanievsky goes out on the street and starts talking. How would it look? The rabbi of your shul is standing there and starting cursing. What would you say?
Zero.
Chafetz Chaim says that the power of speech that the Jews got is a holy vessel. This is like you doing work in the temple, and this is one of the vessels that you use in the temple, your speech. In other words, it is sanctified. So you're not allowed to talk nasty, to talk not nice. Also, the power of speech, we all know it's unbelievable. I don't know, you remember, I think I showed you, in Petah Tikva there is one of the stones. The first one who was buried in Zgula in Petah Tikva in the cemetery was a guy that 10 days before, and I think from what I say, it was Erev Yom Kippur, they were talking about building a cemetery in Petah Tikva at those times, and he said, laughing, I prefer to be the first one to be buried here. And he was the first one. That's the power of speech. You have to be very careful what you say. People don't realize it. But how do you say? Achaim ve'amavet be'ad alashon. Life and death are in the tongue. So we have to be careful. That's, first of all, a lot of lessons that we learn from, you promise, you have to deliver. You have to, that's what we say all the time, bli neder, bli neder, bli neder. When we start Yom Kippur, the most important, one of the most important days in the year, how do we start it? Kol Nidrei. Now, the question here is very interesting. Here the Torah is talking not only about canceling neder, but it's also la'atir neder, to permit to go back on what you say. It's not canceling, it's a different system. Now, the system is very interesting. From what we see here, it looks like Moshe Rabbeinu is being told something, and we're not sure who is telling it. ויום וידבר משה אל ראשי המטות לבני ישראל לאמור זה הדבר אשר ציווה השם. And it's like וידבר משה אל ראשי המטות של בני ישראל. What's ראשי המטות לבני ישראל? So one of the explanations is that he's really saying two things. To Rashi Amatot, the heads of the people, he tells them the whole story. But to the other people, he doesn't tell the whole story. He only tells them how careful they have to be with what they speak and what they promise. But to the heads of the people of the Yam Israel, he tells them, because the system to let's say go back on your vow is very simple.
Okay.
You know, let's say if you said something that you're going to do, you vow, you did the nether, you can go and you can just three people, adults, and you tell them, I had this vow, and they say, if you would have thought like this or this, would you do it? You say, no, and everything is okay. In other words, it's a very simple system to really cancel your vow. So, from one side, you're telling us, whatever you promise, you should deliver. From the other side, you're telling us, okay, no problem. We cancel it, chick-chack. But that's exactly the point. Because it's so important to promise and deliver, God knew that people can do mistakes. And then they will stand in front of a problem. They promise something and they cannot deliver. Or it's very hard for them to deliver. So he did a system that can redo the whole thing. But in order not to make it everybody's going to start, you know, I promise. And, okay, three people, I want you to cancel my promise. So he didn't tell it to everybody. He told it only to the heads of the people in order for them, when they need it, and a guy, why, I did a neder and don't know what to do, says, okay, no problem, come, we'll find a way to do it good. So from one side, because it is important, God gave a way out. But from the other side, he didn't want everybody to know it, to start Unfortunately, we see it every day with our politician. Our politician, they have got no problem. Promising. And then delivering nothing. And that's one of the explanations. Rav Zalman Sorotkin says, what is the Ber Rashi Amatot? He says, the problem is Rashi Amatot. The problem is the people that are on top. They those who use their mouth and promises and do nothing about all those promises. So here we see a very interesting point, first of all, about the power of speech, that we have to use it wisely and be very careful with what we say. Because when we say something, we promise something, or we say something, be aware that God listens. So talk nicely and don't promise things that you cannot deliver. And from other side, be very careful with what you say. As we said, this guy in Petach Tikva, who said, I'm willing to be the first one, he said it, and God delivered. Mm-hmm. It's like the same way sometimes parents like their talk not nicely to the children. Also, the same thing. Be careful what you talk. Tatipesh, you stupid. You this. Be careful what you talk. Because speech has got power, especially Am Yisrael. That is, for example, we see that there is a war with Midian, and then the Torah is telling us, "Vayargu kol zachar ve'et malkei Midian." The kings of Midian they killed. Et Evi ve'et Rekem et Zur et Chur et Rova chameshet mal, the five kings of Midian ve'en Bil'am ben Beor argu becharef. They killed them with a sword. Why is the Torah saying to us that Bil'am ben Beor was killed with a sword? Who cares? He was killed. What is this special thing that they don't write it about the five kings? They were killed. But at Bilam Berode says he was killed with a sword. What is so important for us to know that he was killed with a sword? Because the power of the Goyim is Al Charbecha Tichye. They live on the sword. The power of Am Yisrael, Akol Kol Yaakov. The power of speech is our power. What did Bilam HaRasha do? He used our tool in order to fight us, because he wanted to use his power of speech to curse us. So God said, okay, you did this. You used the tool of Am Yisrael, so Am Yisrael is going to use your tool, the sword, and kill you with the sword. So even in this, there is something to learn, which is unbelievable, the way the Torah is really telling us all those things. One of the points I'm going to write this week about is we see that Bnei Reuven and Bnei Gad, they come to Eretz Israel, and the Torah is telling us, let's find it. They had a lot of cattle. The Reuven, the tribe of Reuven, and the tribe of God. And says they were very rich. They had a lot of cattle. And cattle means a lot of money. And they said, oh, we see this place, Ever Yarden, the other side of Jordan. They're not yet in Eretz Israel. They want to stay there. And here starts a whole interesting episode, which is teaching us an unbelievable lesson. And the unbelievable lesson is, what is more important? Your life, or your property, or your money? What is more important?
Life.
What do we say in Shema? Bechol levavcha, uvechol nafshecha, uvechol mo'odecha. It says, bechol levavcha, with all your heart, bechol nafshecha, even if they take your soul, if they want to kill you, you still have to love God. Ubechol mo'odecha, what is? Says Rashi, with your money. Because if somebody loves his money more than his life, he should love God more than the money. And you know, when you see this, you think to yourself, what's going on here? What, is there somebody that loves his money more than he loves his life? The truth is, This is what we learn from Bnei Reuven and Bnei Gad. They said to Moshe Rabbeinu, we want to build, place for our cattle, like a deer, home for our cattle, stables for our cattle, and home for our children and women. They put first what?
The
cattle. And then only the women and children. And Moshe Rabbeinu told them, are you Shiga? You put your property, your possessions, your money before your children and women? No, you have, first of all, you build home for your children and women. Then you build for the cattle. And they agreed. But it's just showing us. And you understand, Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven, they were not simple, they were tzaddikim. But we all know, you know, sometimes in business I see it, unfortunately it's not nice to say, I see it quite a lot. You come to this tzaddik, Charedi, Chared Ledvar Hashem, but he does all those monkey business. And I'm asking you, so tell me, I don't know, is this this is a way a tzaddik, a Yeresh HaMaim should work? What is this? This is lying, cheating. What says Yirat Shamayim is one thing. This is business. This is business. I cannot believe what I'm hearing. But this is exactly what we see here. Bnei Gad Bnei Reuven put the property, the money before the life. And you have to understand, if you want to be very precise about it, if you put yourself in danger, or you put your child in danger, what is worse for you?
The child.
Because you know me, okay, but my child? This is why we learned that they didn't care about their life, because they were talking about the children. They put them after the cattle. And by the way, in our parsha, it's written that they're building three Arei Miklat. What is Ir Miklat? If somebody kills somebody by mistake, Beshogeg, he runs to Ir Miklat. Now, we have in Ever Yarden 2.5 tribes. There is Reuven and Gad, and Moshe put also the half of the tribe of Menashe. Why did he do this? Because he wanted to have a connection between the two sides of the river. Because if he would leave the two tribes there, Reuven and Gad by themselves, in time, you know, the connection, where they will live like a separate state. It's not going to be connected to Eretz Israel. So what he did, he took half of the tribe of Menashe, put them on that side, and the other half at the other side. So now there is a connection. People are moving from one side to the other side. But anyway, 2.5 tribes. 3 cities to run for those who kill by mistake. And how many did they build for all Am Israel?
6
what? Including the 3?
Yes.
So in other words, for all the other tribes, they have also 3. So the Gemara is asked, what's going on here? For 2.5 tribes, you put 3 cities? And for all Am Israel, you put only 3? What's going on here? Says the Gemara, Begilad Nefishi Rotzchim. There are a lot of murderers in the other side of the Jordan. Now we're not talking about murdering Bemezid, intentionally. Beshogeg. What does it mean?
By accident.
What does it mean? It means that life was not important enough for them. Because what is accident? What is an accident?
Needless risk.
You
involuntary manslaughter.
Yeah, but you were not careful enough. Because if you were careful enough, because, for example, we know that you're allowed to go in town on 50 kilometers an hour. Some places are 30 kilometers an hour. So if you go at the right speed and, chas v'shalom, you hit somebody, this is accident. Because you did what you had to do, you were careful, but you were not careful enough. So this is a case of shogeg. But if you went, let's say, allowed of 50, but you saw the situation and you went on 30 and somebody jumped on your car, would you go to Ir Miklat or not? No, this is not accident. This is nothing you could not prevent. This is honest. Honest means there's nothing in your power to prevent it, and in this case, you are patur. You're not guilty. because it's like somebody comes and jumps on your car. What can you do? Can you do anything about it? No. And unfortunately, if you ride on the road, you see those things happening all the time, how people drive. What can you do? You know, you have this car that is half going by itself. You know, today it's very sophisticated, everything. The problem is, it's not, of course, in my car also, I have all those systems, you know, it stops you if somebody gets closer to you. But there is something the car cannot do. If somebody goes into me, what can I do?
Nothing.
I can be careful, but if somebody else does it, so in this case, this is not shogeg. I'm not guilty at all. So, this case doesn't go to Imiklat, and nothing happened to him. But, let's say that instead of 50, this guy goes on 70, on 80, and kills somebody. Is this, somebody would go to Imiklat? Is this accident?
No.
This is shogeg karov lemezid. This guy is guilty. He cannot go to Imiklat. He has to stand on trial. In other words, when we talk about shogeg, we're talking about the middle. But what does it mean? What does it mean? Look around and see how people don't care about the traffic lights. They don't care about cross lines. They don't care. Is this... What is this? This is not giving, let's say, life the right proportion. Because if you know that red light means I don't walk, I don't drive, because it is the law, and if I do this, even if I don't see right now, it can happen, somebody comes because it's got green light. You know, sometimes you see green light, which you're also not allowed to do, but people do it. You see green light and you want to catch the traffic light. So you speed the car, and somebody didn't see you, it goes under accident. So in other words, if you understand the importance of human life, you would be careful. And if you would be careful, you wouldn't have to go to Ir Miklat. Ir Miklat, by the way, is not a reward. It's a punishment. People don't realize it. He has to stay there till the Kohen Agadol dies. In other words, he can stay there for 50 years, for 40 years, 30 years, who knows. But he didn't do anything he didn't intentionally. He's shogeg, so what? You had to be careful. If you would have been more careful, it wouldn't happen. And this is exactly why in Gilad, which is the other side of the Jordan, as we see here, what did they put in front? Life or property? Possession? Money? The money, the possession, the property. In other words, this was more important than from life. If this is the way, the atmosphere, then accident can happen. Because it's not important enough for you. It's like, you know, you go in Bnei Brak, and all the Rabbanim, they shout about this. They walk on the road like it's no road, like it's a pavement. They go down here, there. You know, when you go in Bnei Brak, you have to be very careful. And all the Rabbanim talk about it. They shout about it. You're not allowed. Chukei HaTnu'a, that's like it's the law of the Torah. V'nishmartem me'od lenafshotechem. But this is what happens. In real life, that's what happened. This is not putting enough on life.
So let me say something. A Jew, a shogeg, without it being his fault, killed an old man, and that way that conscience, in spite of being completely innocent, so he decides he wants to move houses. So he looks at the house where he wanted to move by. He goes to the basement and he finds photos of that man he killed with his car as a very, very big Nazi with a long list of Jews he had killed. And he also had killed the parents of that man.
Unbelievable. So, the big lesson here is that we have to be very careful, and that's to learn from the parasha. Something near where I live in Branana, in Sheshet Hayamim, I don't remember what it was. A few years ago, there was this diamond dealer who came home with the diamonds, and robbers waited for him. They knew he's coming with diamonds, and they came with guns, and he fought them. They killed him. So when we see in Kriyat Shema, "Bechol levavcha ubechol nafshecha ubechol mo'odecha," yes, there are people, unfortunately, that put money before life. And this is what is God telling us. If this is the case, you love me more than you love your money. Because you love your money more than you love yourself. So if I'm going to tell you, love me more than you love yourself, but you love your money more, I didn't say anything. So God is saying, for those who put things in the right proportion, you love me more than you love anything else. In all your heart. Yetzer hatov, yetzer hara. And with all your soul, with all your life. And in case that you love money more, also love me more than you love your money. There is another expression for kol mo'odecha, we must say, bechol mida asher ata moded. With this expression is, whatever happens to me, I'm still going to love you. This is Kriyat Shema. And this is what we learn from our parasha, suddenly, that yes, this is reality. That sometimes people, and they can be good people, tzaddikim, put, and unfortunately, their property before their life. And that's a big lesson. Sometimes we also, maybe we're not far away from this. And especially when I'm talking about doing business, and you see that people are sometimes like this is okay. I'm money. Oh, money! It's not nothing to do with religion. And they can steal and do all those. By the way, also there is this opinion that goyim you can play around. It's not right. It's not. You're not allowed to. And those who think like this, it's not right and it's not allowed. Nekuda. Period.
I'm so glad you said that. What about the Shabbos goy? I hate that one.
What do you mean? What's Shabbos goy?
That you can tell a goy what you
want. It's not so simple, by the way. First of all, the goy can do whatever he wants to. He doesn't have to keep Shabbos, and he's not allowed to keep Shabbos. So there is no problem telling a goy to do something for you because he's got no problem doing it. By the way, in Bnei Brak, there is a Shabbos goy that gets a salary for it. He is waiting. If there is any problem, and you don't have to tell him anything, he already knows. Because the idea is, you're not allowed exactly to tell him, please turn off the light or turn on the light. You're not allowed to do this.
It gets very dark in here.
Yes. No. You have to say things.
You're not allowed to hint. You have to arrange it before Shabbos.
No, you can allow, if he's from him, he's doing it for himself.
Yeah.
He says, don't you think it's dark? Don't you need light, for example? You have to be very clever, in other words. Or, as we say, like for example, when I come to China and I'm staying in the 50th floor, you know, it's a problem to open the door, open to go to the elevator before Shabbos. I give them a list of times, and they know exactly what to do because they know that there are Jewish those who keep Shabbos. They know what to do, so they come and pick me up from the room. They take me down. They then take me up, open the room, close the room. That's the way to do it. But you're not allowed just to come to a goy and tell him, "Please do this."
No, you have that problem. We have in our building, my neighbor, third floor. I live on the third floor.
Yes.
She has him in the belly. She knows that she has to take her neighbor to the third floor.
Okay,
and
there's
I don't
no problem.
Have to tell her anything.
No, that's no
so
problem.
Rather than wait for the.
Because she is also going in the lift anyway.
I don't have to tell her anything.
So the idea is, like, for example, talking, I have to end. For example, if we're talking about interest. Hmm. You're not allowed to take interest from a Jew, but you're allowed to take interest from a goy. It sounds not good.
Yeah.
But the real truth is, it is good. Why? I'll tell you why. It's very simple. Because I am not allowed to take interest and I'm not allowed to give interest to a Jew. But the goyim, they're allowed to do it. They've got no problem. In other words, if he's going to loan me money, is he going to take interest? Yes.
Sure.
So what's the problem if I take interest from him? But from a Jew, I am not allowed to take and not allowed to give. It's a different thing. So you have to, it's the way to look at it. It's like to say every coin has got two sides. It's the way of look at things. We believe, and another thing, all those things we have to check. It's not like, you know, people are saying things and they don't check them to the end. You have to check them to the end. Like, telling a goy is not so simple. It's not so simple. You have to know how to do it. And then, of course, you're not allowed to insult him. You're not allowed to think. It's like you're talking about goyim. Sometimes people think if this guy is not religious, they can tell him to light the... Oh, you're not religious. This is not allowed. He's Jew like you and he's also has to keep Shabbos. You cannot tell him to do it. And nevertheless, if he does it, you're not allowed to enjoy it. Anyway, we should. Yeah, it's rare to sign a yid, but it's good to sign a yid. It's good to sign a yid. That's the point. Yeah. Because at the end of the day, as we say, we speak differently. And you feel differently. You know, when I go to the shuk and sometimes you hear the people how they speak, I don't feel good. I feel like they lowered my level. So in other words, it's good. It's good to be Jewish. It's good to behave nicely. But you have to do it. Because if you don't behave like this, that's the opposite of what you're supposed to do. Be'ezrat Hashem, we should learn to keep our mouth, not promising what we cannot deliver, talk nicely, and understand the holiness of the power of speech, and also put things in the right proportion. Life is more important than money.
I'm going to resign from the Lashon Hara Club.